Since planet Earth was put in quarantine over 200,000 years ago after the Lucifer Rebellion, it has also had to undertake the function as a virtual prison planet, remand center for many of the most negative and destructive beings within our universe brought here for reform. Also, it had to fulfill its original role as a seed planet for young souls starting out on their long ascension and devolutionary path up from the animal kingdom. They have had to learn how to control their as yet undeveloped animalistic emotional responses, which have a tendency to descend into violent conflict when conditions get difficult. By experiencing the many conflicts between each other, they are eventually forced over time to evolve a deeper respect for the sanctity of life, which will then allow them to move on up to higher worlds. Planet Earth was at its creation within our galaxy, local universe of Nabidin, also given a role as an experimental ecology planet, in which new life forms and varieties of plant life were to be developed. All the diversity of biological life found throughout the universe has at some time been brought here by the life carriers, who have the job of physically creating new and improved life forms on a new experimental ecology planet. Also, there were many of the original extraterrestrial human settlers of planet Earth who were brought here millions of years ago in the motherships of the Galactic Federation as a specially selected team of volunteer celestial gardeners. They came having made a solemn pledge to help in the development of new and better varieties of plant and animal life for this new galactic museum under a long-term contract to remain here as stewards of Earth until a virtual Garden of Eden was finally established. Although they were eventually dragged down into lower and lower levels of dense third dimension physicality, and which was mainly caused by the various invasions by the dark forces within our galaxy, they nevertheless maintained a sacred pledge to return here repeatedly until their job was finally done. Millions of years later, many are still here as the many ecologists who attempt to carry on the work of developing a yet more beautiful and diverse planet. This planetary role as a biological showcase for the galaxy explains the amazing rich variety of plant and animal life which we now enjoy. Our planet is even now, despite man's past destructive activities, considered by the other inhabited worlds as being one of the most beautiful and green water planets within the galaxy. The future levels of Earth are destined to further develop this great wealth and variety of life to even greater heights, into a true celestial Garden of Eden, not only for our own enjoyment, but for the education and enjoyment of all the other worlds who will be visiting us. Apart from co-creating with our galactic friends a beautiful green new world, we will also be developing many new and improved social systems from the learning gained through our difficult experiences of resolving positive-negative duality. We shall become an exemplary showcase world for the rest of the galaxy and grand universe. The Earth's previously third-dimensional inhabitants will have moved up from our previous inherent focus on pure self-interest, to one of developing an enlightened attitude of serving others for the benefit of the whole. We shall be a loving and cooperative society which incorporates a deep respect for the integrity and rights of others. We will thus have developed a strong attitude of mutual respect for others out of our trials of resolving the positive-negative duality experience. This will in future be governed by a central political principle which mandates that we take all possible steps to avoid intruding into, or causing harm, to another being. This political principle can be encapsulated as, "Do unto others only as you would have them do unto you." Chapter 1, Ancient Prophecies. Many biblical predictions have for long told us clearly and graphically of the coming final day of judgment, the second coming of the Christ and of our final reward of an ascension up to the heavenly realms. The old biblical final day of judgment was traditionally divided into several different sequences, starting with the rapture, in which those who are just and faithful to the ways of the Lord are lifted up to the heavens to avoid the tribulation which follows. Then will the wrath of the Lord descend upon those who have failed their final judgment, followed by a great cleansing of earth. A small remnant who repent and learn to change their ways would possibly survive the tribulation and emerge from their hiding places underground and in caves to commence a glorious new millennium, a prophesied 1,000-year golden age of peace, to be started off with the second coming of the Christ to earth, as the Prince of Peace, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Isaiah describes the tribulation graphically in the Old Testament, Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light, the sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogance of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place. Isaiah 13:9-13. The New Testament gives four major prophecies of the final day of judgment and the second coming of the Christ, from the Apostles Mark, Luke and Matthew, and the Book of Revelations by Saint John of the island of Patmos. In the Gospel according to Saint Luke, Jesus speaks of the signs before the end and the second coming. The days will come, in which there shall not be left one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down. Nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Luke 21:6-10, 25-28. Likewise from Saint Matthew, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Matthew 24:21-22, 29-36. In the Book of Revelations, Saint John the Divine was given a vision in which a high angel broke seven seals, each containing a revelation, a future vision, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and, lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea, and had life, died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood, and many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord, and of his Christ, and he shall reign for ever and ever. Revelation 6:12-14, 8-1-2 and 7:11, 11-15. The Buddhist tradition also foretells the end of the present civilization 2,500 years after the birth of the Buddha, at which time mankind will be redeemed by Maitreya, the future Buddha. The exact birth year of the original Buddha is not known, but the earliest of several dates is 566 BC, thus confirming the timing of the predicted changes to occur after the end of the 20th century. In the early 1830s, the Church of the Latter-day Saints was founded on the prophecies given to Joseph Smith by an angelic being, named Moroni, and on Smith's subsequent discovery, under Moroni's direction, of buried golden tablets of great antiquity inscribed with much ancient wisdom, which was to become the Book of Mormon. The Mormon teachings repeat the biblical warnings of great judgments which were coming upon the earth, with great desolations by famine, sword, and pestilence. And when that day shall come, they shall be visited of the Lord of hosts, with thunder and with earthquake, and with a great noise, and with storm, and with tempest, and with the flame of devouring fire. One of the best known of more recent psychics and clairvoyants, Edgar Cayce, gave between 1901 and 1945 thousands of trance readings. Cayce became well known for his trance diagnoses of illnesses and miracle cures, later to be documented and confirmed by medical science. He also gave many predictions of future events which were to be proved unusually accurate. For the end of the 20th century, he predicted earthquakes, volcanic eruptions and catastrophic changes to the Earth's surface. The Earth will be broken up in many places. The early portion will see a change in the physical aspect of the west coast of America. There will be open waters appearing in the northern portions of Greenland. There will be new lands seen off the Caribbean Sea, and dry land will appear. South America shall be shaken from the uppermost portion to the end, and in the Antarctic off Tierra del Fuego land, and a strait with rushing waters. 3976 15, Jan 19, 1934, the earth will be broken up in the western portion of America. The greater portion of Japan must go into the sea. The upper portion of Europe will be changed as in the twinkling of an eye. Land will appear off the east coast of America. 3976 15, Jan 19, 1934, there will be upheavals in the Arctic and the Antarctic that will make for the eruptions of volcanoes in the torrid areas, and there will then be the shifting of the poles, so that where there have been frigid or semi-tropical areas, these will become the more tropical, and moss and fern will grow. 3976 15, Jan 19, 1934, in the next few years, lands will appear in the Atlantic as well as in the Pacific. And what is the coastline now of many a land will be the bed of the ocean. Portions of the now east coast of New York, or New York City itself, will in the main disappear. While the southern portions of Carolina, Georgia, these will disappear. 1150-11, August 13, 1941, Cayce also refers to ancient records of Atlantis hidden underground in a secret chamber near the Pyramid of Giza in Egypt, covering the entire history of mankind from pre-Egypt to the end of the 20th century, which is, said Cayce, that period when there is to be the change in the Earth's position, and the return of the great initiate to that and other lands for the folding up of those prophecies that are depicted there. 5748-5, from the Life Readings by Edgar Cayce. Copyright 1971, 1993, 1995 by the Edgar Cayce Foundation, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23451, USA, and used by permission. As we consider the possibility and the implications of these predicted Earth changes, we can be quite certain that physical changes of enormous magnitude have already occurred many times during planet Earth's long history. Chapter 2, A History of Upheaval. We tend quite naturally to regard our Earth as a stable and unchanging home, a sure stronghold which could never be substantially disrupted. Our confidence may from time to time be shaken by major earthquakes and typhoons, but these soon pass over, and we prefer to regard them as minor temporary upsets in an otherwise comfortable and predictable environment. There is, however, much geological evidence of sudden and major structural changes having taken place on planet Earth in the past, and it is not unreasonable to consider the possibility that what has happened in the past may well be repeated. Historical accounts written many centuries ago bear witness to previous planetary disruptions. Immanuel Velikovsky has made a major contribution to research in this area. His Worlds in Collision, written in 1950, assembles numerous biblical and ancient historical references to such events, drawing substantially on contemporary accounts from the Middle East and Lower Mexico. He quotes, for example, a long inscription in hieroglyphics on a shrine of black granite found at El Arish on the border of Egypt and Palestine. It reads, "The land was in great affliction. Evil fell on this earth. There was a great upheaval in the residence. Nobody could leave the palace during 9 days, and during these 9 days of upheaval there was such a tempest that neither men nor gods could see the faces of those beside them." This inscription corresponds with the Bible, Exodus 10:22, "And there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days." East of Egypt, in Babylonia, the 11th tablet of the Epic of Gilgamesh refers to the same events. "From out of the horizon rose a dark cloud and it rushed against the earth. The land was shriveled by the heat of flames. Desolation stretched to heaven, all that was bright was turned into darkness. Nor could a brother distinguish his brother. For 6 days the hurricane, deluge, and tempest continued sweeping the land, and all humans back to their clay were returned." The ancient Egyptian historian Nippua witnessed and survived this earthquake, recounting that, "The towns are destroyed, Upper Egypt has become a waste. All is ruin. The residence is overturned in a minute." Papyrus Ipua 211.313. From his research into ancient documents, Velikovsky concludes that the Earth was forced out of its regular motion by the close approach of the body of a comet. A major shock convulsed the lithosphere, and the area of the earthquake was the entire globe. Terrific hurricanes swept the Earth because of the change or reversal of the angular velocity of rotation and because of the sweeping gases, dust, and cinders of the comet. He supports this contention of worldwide disruptions with similar quotations from historical records of Mexican tradition. The Mexican sacred book Popol Vuh, the manuscript Caxical, and the manuscript Trueno all record how the mountains in every part of the Western Hemisphere simultaneously gushed lava. The volcanoes that opened along the entire chain of the Cordilleras and in other mountain ranges and on flat land vomited fire, vapor, and torrents of lava. Velikovsky quotes manuscript Trueno and other documents of the Mayas which describe a cosmic catastrophe during which the ocean fell upon the continent and a terrible hurricane swept the earth. These records provide graphic accounts of hurricanes which broke up and carried away all towns and forests. Exploding volcanoes, tides sweeping over mountains, and raging winds threatened to annihilate humankind, and actually did annihilate many species of animals. The face of the earth changed, mountains collapsed, other mountains grew and rose over the onrushing cataract of water driven from oceanic spaces, numberless rivers lost their beds, and a wild tornado moved through the debris descending from the sky. The ancients referred to the physical agent that brought darkness and swept away houses and trees and even rocks and mounds of earth, as hurricane, from which our present word hurricane is derived. Hurricane, it is recorded, destroyed the major part of the human race. In the darkness swept by wind, resinous stuff fell from the sky and participated with fire on water in the destruction of the world. For 5 days, save for the burning naphtha and burning volcanoes, the world was dark, since the sun did not appear. In a later book, Earth in Upheaval, Velikovsky supports biblical and other historical references with currently visible geological evidence of past upheavals. He describes, for example, an area in Alaska to the north of Mount McKinley which has a frozen layer of muck composed of a jumble of trees and extinct animals, such as the mammoth, mastodon and super bison. This was analyzed by Professor F. C. Hibben of the University of New Mexico, who concluded, "There is ample evidence that at least portions of this material were deposited under catastrophic conditions. Mammal remains are for the most part dismembered and disarticulated, even though some fragments yet retain, in their frozen state, portions of ligaments, skin, hair, and flesh. Twisted and torn trees are piled in splintered masses. At least 4 considerable layers of volcanic ash may be traced in these deposits, although they are extremely warped and distorted. The presence of volcanic ash indicates that a volcanic eruption did take place, and repeatedly, in four consecutive stages of the same epoch, but it is also apparent that the trees could have been uprooted and splintered only by hurricane or flood or a combination of both agencies. The animals could have been dismembered only by a stupendous wave that lifted and carried and smashed and tore and buried millions of bodies and millions of trees. Also, the area of the catastrophe was much greater than the action of a few volcanoes could have covered. During the late 1830s, Hugh Miller made a special study of the old red sandstone in Scotland in which an abundant aquatic fauna is embedded. The animals embedded within it are seen in very disturbed positions. Miller writes, "Some terrible catastrophe involved in sudden destruction the fish of an area at least 100 miles from boundary to boundary, perhaps more." The same platform in Orkney, as at Cromarty, is strewn thick with remains, which exhibit unequivocally the marks of violent death. The figures are contorted, contracted, curved. The tail in many instances is bent around to the head, the spines stick out, the fins are spread to the full, as in fish that die in convulsions. In 1901 a quick frozen mammoth was found in Berisovka, Siberia, so well preserved that its eyeballs were fully intact. It still had buttercups in its mouth and the content of its stomach indicated that it had been eating temperate zone plants, no longer growing in that area. R.S. Lowell, director of the Peabody Museum at Yale, reports the discovery in his book Organic Evolution, confirming that ... a fractured hip and forelimb, a great mass of clotted blood in the chest, and unswallowed grass between the clenched teeth, all point to the violence and suddenness of its passing. Rock geology shows that there have been major uplifts of land masses around the globe. The Great Massif of the Himalayas is estimated to have risen to its present height since the last ice age of over 11,000 years ago. Likewise, the Andes in South America also show evidence of having been thrust upwards 11,000 years ago. Many other researchers have identified evidence of major geological changes during our planet's long history. Indeed, there are many areas in which even a casual observer can see such evidence for him or herself, as for example when erosion shows cross-sections of hillsides miles from the present coastline displaying deposits of seashells. An interesting example, quoted in Doomsday 1999 AD, by Charles Bullitz, can be found in Bolivia. The stone city of Tiahuanaco is so old that its broken pottery shows pictures of Pleistocene animals. Although Tiahuanaco is now at an altitude of 13,500 feet, too high for a population to live, its docks and quays indicate that it was once a seaport and that it rose with the Andes when they were created 11,000 years ago. Emmanuel Velikovsky summarizes these sudden geological changes: "Wherever we investigate the geological records of this earth, we find signs of catastrophes and upheavals, old and recent. Mountains sprang from plains, and other mountains were leveled, strata of the terrestrial crust were folded and pressed together and overturned and moved and put on top of other formations. Igneous rock melted and flooded enormous areas of land with miles-thick sheets, and the ocean bed flowed with molten rock. Ashes were showered down and built layers many yards thick on the ground and on the bottom of the oceans in their vast expanse. The shores of ancient lakes were tilted and are no longer horizontal and the seacoasts show subsidence or emergence, in some places, of over 1,000 feet. Rocks of the earth are filled with remains of life extinguished in a state of agony. Sedimentary rocks are one vast graveyard, and the granite and basalt, too, have embedded in them numberless living organisms. Shells have closed valves as they do in a living state. So unexpectedly came the entombment. Vast forests were burned and washed away and covered with the waters of the seas and with sand and turned to coal. Animals were swept to the far north and thrown into heaps and were soaked by bituminous outpourings. Broken bones and torn ligaments and the skins of animals, both of living species and of extinct species, were smashed together with splintered forests into huge piles. The evidence is overwhelming that the great global catastrophes were either accompanied or caused by the shifting of the terrestrial axis, or by a disturbance in the diurnal and annual motions of the Earth. The shifting of the axis could not have been brought about by internal causes, but only under the impact of external forces. the state of lavas with reversed magnetization, hundreds of times more intense than the inverted terrestrial magnetic field could impart, reveals the nature of the forces that were in action. Earth in Upheaval, by Emanuel Velikovsky, 1955, Buccaneer Books Incorporated, Kutchuk, NY, USA. Set against the wider time frame of the many dramatic surface changes which have already occurred, current predictions of major physical Earth changes may now perhaps seem less extreme. There is plenty of evidence that the planet's very geography has in fact been dramatically changed many times before, and likewise, there is no scientific evidence to support the contention that such changes will not happen yet again. Human Earth civilizations have also come and gone. Most people today look at the story of humanity and assume that it has lasted for only 6,000 years or so, but there have in fact been many much older civilizations, such as Lemuria, or Mu, in the Pacific Ocean and the legendary Atlantis in the Atlantic Ocean. Chapter 3, Prophets of Our Time. In March 1994, NBC Television Networks broadcast a program entitled Ancient Prophecies, covering both ancient and contemporary predictions of Earth changes. It was seen by millions of American and Canadian viewers and prompted over 24,000 inquiries. A major feature was the prediction by Gordon Michael Scallion of violent and significant geological changes coming to Earth by the end of the millennium. Although these events have not yet manifested, they still remain a potential possibility for the near future, and therefore their details are worth taking into consideration. Mr. Scallion had worked in the field of communications and education until 1979, when he experienced a health crisis which left him with the gift of prophecy. Some of his more notable prophecies were the 1992 Californian earthquakes on April 22 and June 28, Hurricane Andrew in Florida, and the Mississippi floods of 1993. Viewers of the March 1994 program were shown a future map of the United States, 1998 to 2001, which Mr. Scallion had visualized through his inner sight. Published by his company Matrix Institute, the map showed major geological changes in the United States occurring in two distinct phases: a first super-mega California earthquake in the 10-15 magnitude range causes a fracture along a line from Eureka to Bakersfield and southwest to the Gulf of California Baja. Gaps and fissures occur running the length of the San Joaquin and Sacramento valleys. Flooding inundates much of the coastal area of California, causing some of the existing landmass to become islands. In a second major Californian earthquake, the central North American plate is thrust violently upward on a tilt, causing much of California to go under the sea. Higher elevations remain as islands and become known as the Isles of California. A large part of the landmass west of a line running from Newport, Oregon to Tucson, Arizona breaks away and sinks within minutes. This line forms the new west coast of the United States, and with Phoenix, Arizona, becoming a major seaport. Along the eastern seaboard, coastlines from Maine to Florida are also pushed inland for many miles. Atlanta, Georgia becomes a new seaport. Florida is reduced in size by more than half, and all the Florida Keys disappear beneath the sea. In the center of the American continent, a wide belt of water floods the Mississippi Basin, connecting up with the Great Lakes, which themselves rise and expand, cutting off the eastern part of the United States from the west and effectively creating two separate land masses. Mr. Scallion envisaged the Earth's magnetic pole shifting twice to the west, 7 degrees at first, and then a further 6 degrees as a result of magma displacement through a shifting of the Earth's core. As a contributory element, he saw a large heavenly body entering our solar system, the Blue Star, causing a realignment of Earth's position within the system. We should always bear in mind that although these events have not yet manifested themselves, they are all potentialities that can be seen from higher spiritual planes. Although they have in fact been delayed and greatly modified by the relatively good progress made by humanity since that time, elements of them will nonetheless still manifest, although probably to a lesser degree, and at the appropriately set divine time for our final ascension. Another future map of America was channeled through Laurier Detoy, between 1988 and 1991, transmitted jointly by the Ascended Masters Saint Germain, Kuthumi, El Moya, Mother Mary, Sanat Kumara, Sananda, and other masters of Earth's spiritual hierarchy. It was published as the New World Atlas by Seventh Ray Publishing of Basin, Arizona.